At the foundation last Saturday afternoon, somebody asked me to come over, and the flowers in the big front room, the flowers that are around where you sit, she asked me to put my hands on the flowers and make a wish. And I said, I'm not sure that this is going to work. And then she said, yes, yes, Achan said to do this. So I'm asking
her. Everyone says, Achan says.
Yes, I've heard a few Achan says.
Many Achans.
Many
Achans. In and out the foundation too.
So it wasn't you that I didn't think that putting my hands on the flowers and making a wish sounded like you. Okay, that was all.
Never be me.
And if it was true, would you do it? If someone told me put my hand on the flowers and make a wish because someone told me to do it?
Sarah, I did put my hands on there. But then I remembered in Perfections, there's the, how does it, asseveration of...
Of truth.
Of truth, yeah, how the Bodhisattva made wishes, you know, and was regarding a very small ill child or something. And by this asseveration of truth, made this child get better. And it, so that went through my head when I was putting my hands on there, but I didn't... Well, I'm not telling you what wish I said. But that thought of the, that story in the Perfections came to mind.
And if it doesn't become true?
Well, probably in a couple of weeks I'll have forgotten the wish, so it doesn't matter.
Only for 2 weeks?
Well, it wasn't a really serious wish.
But you see that to make a wish like Bodhisattva, only the Bodhisattva can have that wish become true.
Only Bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everyone would make a wish and then everything get right.
Is that just anything to do with the fact that a Bodhisattva can never lie? A Bodhisattva can never lie.
No, I mean that when you make a wish, mm-hmm. usually normal people, everyone cannot have it come true at will. But for Bodhisattva, depending on his satya, great accumulation of satya.
Satya, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because it of can, that parami.
Yeah.
Just following on from that, Ajahn, often you read I don't remember if it's sutta or commentary, but one or the other, about the Mahasavaka, like Upalavanna or Anathapindika, who in the past had made these earnest asseverations or earnest wishes, Adithan. So what about that? Where does that fit in the equation, do you think?
Pardon?
Sometimes you read in the suttas or commentaries about Mahasavaka who make, in the past, who have made earnest desires to be this or that, you know, to be the chief in quickest to enlightenment or the chief in quickest to, or the most generous, or female lay disciples, male lay disciples. You have a lot of lists of Mahasavaka who fall in the water. Where do you think that fits in?
By conditions.
I think they would have been people with some understanding, so they would know what it takes to be, you know, reach that level. So taking into consideration that they have to develop the paramis accordingly, it's just a statement of expecting to go, accepting and willing to accept whatever happens. I mean, whatever you have to do, you're willing to do. If being a Mahasavaka would mean taking longer time than ordinary savaka, right? So they were willing to take all that time and go through whatever they will have to.
It was also a condition for thinking of, look, I have no idea. I was thinking to myself, no idea whether this is lopa or whether there's some sort of truth here or is it just plain moha. So it was a good condition. The wish may never come true, but it was a good condition for just thinking about the issue, you know, of I don't know if it's lopa, I don't know if it's... I guess it was lopa, but I really don't know.
And the deeds can be told about the accumulation of parami. The deeds and the speech can be shown about parami, how much parami is there. For example, if you do this and make a wish, it means that very little panya. The way one does, the way one speaks, the way one thinks, is the manners of the panya which has accumulated less or more.
Sometimes one may also go along with things out of kindness or friendliness to the person one's with. Like when I was with my mother in England, she wanted me to go into the cathedral and kneel down and make a special wish, and then she wanted to ask me what the wish was, and so I just went through the whole thing just to keep her happy, and so it always comes back to the citta.
It's the way to know how much accumulation of right understanding and panya by the deeds and the speech. When one has more metta, it's because of panya too. The more panya is there, the more there is condition for wholesome speech and deeds.
So it's definitely back to panya again. There's without right understanding, and without understanding of what's happening, then we just go wrong. We do all sorts of things, accumulations. If we have accumulations, making wishes over flowers, and we go ahead and do that. But if there's right understanding, maybe make a pretense of, so it wouldn't offend the other person. but it is. It's always back to right understanding of the present moment. There's no other way.
The citta now.
And the cetasikas.
When we talk about the citta, it always includes the cetasikas.
That's what cetasika means. It means possessed of citta, literally, or citta possessed.
Of the mind. When we talk citta kusla or kusla, we not necessarily have to say what cetasika is, right?
Talking about the meaning of a word and citta. So when we're talking about citta visuddhi or adicitta, why is citta used when it's referring to the level of visuddhi relating to the understanding of ekagata and samadhi?
Because some samadhi or some citta are not visuddhi.
I didn't get it.
Some citta or samadhi are not visuddhi, so it's just
are not visuddhi.
So it's just referring to those citta with samadhi that is visuddhi. But one could say the same about sila visuddhi, that some cittas and cittas
or some sila
are not
visuddhi.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
Even the jhana citta, some are visuddhi and some are not. It cannot be visuddhi without panya, which understands it as just a reality. That's why the jhana citta can be object of right understanding. If not, it's not visuddhi.
So would you speak a little bit more about jhanas that jhana that would not be
visuddhi?
Just hear some of the jhana which would not be visuddhi.
Any jhana without the development of right understanding cannot be object of right understanding so that it can be visuddhi.
Can we say that visuddhi means not taking... Visuddhi is only when not taking the Dhamma for self.
Right. Because it is just telling someone that now is not self, but the path leading to realization, exactly that it's not self, should be followed.
For example, before the Buddha's time, many people had attained jhana and had highly developed samatha, but no citta visuddhi, no jhana could be visuddhi, because it couldn't be understood as just a dhamma, a permanent dhamma that was anatta. And even during the Buddha's time, if people attained jhana but it wasn't understood, if the jhana citta wasn't the object of understanding, then it's not jhana visuddhi.
And on this point,
you were saying this morning that the reason that there is a whole section about the development of samadhi and samatha bhavana and jhana, and as included as object of understanding as citta visuddhi, in order to understand that the path is not the development of or attainment of jhana or the development of concentration, but it seems a very large section in Visuddhimagga or other texts just to make the point that it's not necessary for the development of understanding to develop any of these kinds of samatha.
Depending on the individual's accumulation in the old days and today.
Yes. Daily life for different people according to those accumulations.
Can you clarify citta visuddhi? Like, is citta visuddhi with panya? Is that what it means?
Visuddhi means with panya. It means purity. So purity is only with panya, and it has to be the kind of panya that is the understanding of reality directly. So this is visuddhi. So whenever one sees the word visuddhi, it always means with right understanding of reality. So in this case, it's referring to the right understanding of different levels, different kinds of concentration, ikagata, whether momentary or upchara or apana or any kind of concentration, but it always means the right understanding. That's why there can be jhana or any kind of concentration which is not visuddhi, because if it's not understood as just a passing dhamma, as anatta, it's not visuddhi.
Why the reference to concentration? Why talk about citta visuddhi in terms of concentration?
Because that's what it's referring to. It's referring to ekagata cetasika, which is concentration. And like we said this morning, before the Buddha's time, people assumed the development of concentration to whatever degree was the way. And so the Buddha was pointing out that actually it's only the right understanding of reality which is the way. And so it has to be right understanding of that concentration like any other reality, no matter the degree or the level, no matter what kind of samatha has been developed for those for whom it was their daily life.
It's a reference that the concentration is not so much to the ekagata but to the citta. It's the samatha. And since it's the samatha, that's why it's citta visuddhi. Because at the moment of samatha, the citta is pure also, but it's not visuddhi. So it's just making the distinction that this type of citta without panya, although it's without it's kusala, but when it's with panya, it's being purified.
The point is, it is ekagata chetasika, so no matter what degree or level, that's what it is. Because that is concentration, so no matter whether it is the development of calm to no matter what level, the concentration that is accompanied it is usually taken as being the path, but no matter what level of concentration is developed, it's still only a Dhamma, passing Dhamma. And I think it relates back to what we were saying this morning about Sanskrit terms that were commonly used and understood being used by the Buddha in a way with a different meaning. So people would have talked about and known about, as Vincent said, about citta and concentration and samadhi, and he was pointing out that it's only the understanding of these dhammas that is the way, and there has to be that right understanding, otherwise one has the idea that the development of samadhi is the path in some way.
So there are other contexts in which citta is used for a samatha, a reference to samatha like adi, sila, adi, citta, adi, panya. And I'm wondering if it's because it's not any particular chetasika in that case, because you have pasadi, you have ekagata, etc. Whereas for adi panya, it's obviously panya chetasika that is being referred to.
When we do not specify particular chetasika, we just talk about citta. Because citta arises with many chetasikas. Like kusala citta, many sopana chetasikas are there.
In the case of samatha, we're not just talking about ordinary samatha, we're talking about the samatha that is concentration, different levels of concentration. And therefore, maybe that's why it's concentration that's highlighted, I guess.
Because samadhi is developed with that calm. But earlier this morning Ajahn was saying just ekagata chetasika, no matter what level. And so when it's citta visuddhi, it's always, I think, concentration of whatever degree that's being referred to. Is that correct, Ajahn?
There is vatsati chetasika, any moment of kusala, right? Who knows? But when we talk about samadhi, there is some idea about it. Some idea about what it's meant by samadhi. But when we talk about prasati, no one knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people have strong ideas
about developing samadhi and Like if you asked Vincent before he studied with us, he would talk about having samadhi practice or developing samadhi. Everyone has samadhi. And in other teachings before the Buddha, they talked about samadhi, like in Hindu teachings.
So you're talking, Jitavasuddhi relates to egagata jitasika. So is in the development of samatha, samadhi. Samatha is calm, samadhi is concentration, right? Well, my question is, does the Jitavasuddhi also incorporate in the vipassana, like the development of right understanding? It's not just, it's including the development of the path, because there is samadhi in the Eightfold Path. It's quite a difficult area for me, this one.
Well, because that's why it says there has to be sila for Sudhi first, so there is the understanding of different dhammas as different dhammas, and it has to be the development of the path or leading to the development of the path, and the understanding that the samasamadhi of the path is not the same as the samadhi that is developed in samatha bhavana, which focuses on the object of that understanding, but without the understanding of dhamma as dhamma. So it is the development of the path, and it is leading to ditti visuddhi, which is the understanding at the level of vipassana jnana. Visuddhi is always right understanding of reality.
If you don't mind going through it again, I'm lost. So what is sila visuddhi, chitta visuddhi, and ditti visuddhi? And how does is that, how is it that sila visuddhi should come first, and then chitta visuddhi, then ditti visuddhi? What's the whole story behind this?
That was about my question this morning. But sila visuddhi, so sila refers to kusala citta, which with understanding, so it refers to any moments of right understanding of reality. So patipatti, so it's direct understanding of reality, which has to develop and accumulate any kind of dhamma, but it's not yet of the level of vipassana jnana. And there has to be that understanding of realities too, for there to be understanding that even concentration of any level has to also be understood and developed. It's not a path of developing samatha bhavana or attaining jhana.
A level higher than sila visuddhi. And what is that?
Well, anything else?
Yeah, when it's panya, it's higher than kusala without panya. That's why the path leading to enlightenment must be visuddhi from the very beginning, no matter its ordinary sila, or at moment when citta is stronger by way of samatha or samadhi, until it becomes ditti visuddhi, which is the moment of realization, the truth of the reality right then as not self, one by one.
So, I take it that sila visuddhi is satipatthana, right?
Visuddhi must be satipatthana, otherwise it cannot be visuddhi.
And citta visuddhi?
Yes.
Satipatthana?
Yes.
And the difference is?
When we talk about the kusala citta, even at level of sila, like now, any moment of kusala is level of sila, right? not the development of samadhi or higher level, but sometimes when there are such moments of samadhi, it has to be visuddhi with panya too. To no matter whether it is ordinary sila, kusala, or at level of samadhi, right understanding must know or realize the realities as the self.
Why?
Otherwise, there can never be vipassana jnana, even the first one, because citta visuddhi is the first vipassana jnana.
And sila visuddhi is satipatthana, and citta visuddhi. Now, I'm trying to see. Because you're saying sila, you're making this distinction
like
between
now,
sila and citta.
Like now.
And saying that sila does, without sila visuddhi, there cannot be citta
visuddhi. If there is no understanding of kusala citta, which is sila now, mm-hmm. it cannot be sila visuddhi. Like.
So you're talking about the panya that knows right. kusala from akusala and the panya that knows ekagata.
Higher level. Kusala from Akusala, which understands reality. It like now, ordinary, in ordinary
right.
daily
understands,
life.
Understands Kusala as a reality and then understanding ekagata. Is that?
Seeing as a reality, hearing as a reality, under any moment of Kusala, understanding of reality.
Okay.
It is Satipatthana.
Okay.
Patipati.
And
yeah.
Citta?
And Citta is referring to when the concentration has been, the samadhi, when it has been developed. So usually it's a higher kind of kusala that has been developed, but at that moment it's understood, it's just dhamma, it's just reality.
Yeah, but you're saying...
Like in the development of
calm.
Is
this talking about certain people who have to develop
depending on accumulations.
Because not everyone will develop concentration,
no,
right?
No, no. So this understands that it's not necessary because it's also just dharma, just reality.
I think that Ajahn said that sila visuddhi is understanding kusala without panya. And and citta visuddhi is understanding
sila
kusala with panya. With panya.
Sila means kusala. So it is the purification of kusala. So it's that means that has to be with panya when there is understanding of reality like now.
Yeah,
it
but
is
the object is not the object of sila visuddhi is not
can be
anything. Any reality.
Rupa. Just kusala plain
include
hardness, seeing just like now, just reality in daily life.
Satipatthana is with panya.
Is sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi.
And citta visuddhi.
It couldn't be satipatthana if it wasn't whatever appears naturally. If there was an idea, it has to be of kusala, citta or something. That wouldn't be satipatthana.
Yeah, but satipatthana can be the object of satipatthana itself, right?
What is sila?
In
the absolute sense. Akusala sila, kusala sila, apiyagata sila. But when we talk about the path, we just talk about the kusala sila, which at moment, any moment, when citta is kusala without right understanding, it cannot be visuddhi. But when kusala arises with panya, it is visuddhi and it can have any object. Because the citta there is kusala, so it's sila, and it is visuddhi because of panya, which arrives at that moment.
And citta visuddhi differs from sila visuddhi in because it's...
Actually, there is ekakata cetasika any moment, but when it is developed to the degree that it can appear as samadhi, and without right understanding, it cannot be samadhi visuddhi, or citta visuddhi, another word for it.
There's akusala sila.
Right.
But there's no akusala dana, is there? There's dana, sila, bhavana. So sila's in a different category in this case?
Different meaning of sila.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Most people okay. understand.
Okay, okay.
Most people understand sila means a five sila, right?
Yeah.
But the meaning, real meaning of sila is behavior.
Okay, in that case, then I get it.
Nature of citta from moment to moment. So, so citta now can be kusala or akusala, or in the case of the arahat, not kusala or akusala. So actually, in the
an arahat can have akusala citta.
Can have avyakata sila, not kusala and not akusala. And so actually, either the sila can be kusala or akusala because of the nature of the citta. So this is the real meaning of sila. But in this context, because it's talking about visuddhi sila, so it has to be referring to kusala sila only.
It's a good point you brought up there.
Well, because I have a limited understanding of Pali, so I understand about these three important bhavana,
yes,
sila,
true.
Dana, but I wasn't.
A lot of the misunderstanding arises because it's often translated as virtue, which is completely leads to misunderstanding. It's really
I think of it as behavior.
Oh, that's
good. So behavior of citta.
So obviously, behavior can be akusala at times.
Of course. I thought that sila usually, because of my limited understanding of these terms. Sila referred to the right behavior, correct behavior, skillful behavior, kusala behavior. But it doesn't always.
Okay. Most of the people think that way because when we talk about sila, we think in terms of kusala sila.
So that's why we study and listen more to consider from different aspects and a little more deeply. And that's why you need to keep coming.
There's lots more to come, Nina.
Oh, I know. As Ajahn often puts, you know, just learning more terms isn't necessarily...
It's learning more about realities, though. Need to use terms.
That's what you were talking this morning about, silabhita paramasa, so that's akusala sila, which is eradicated by the sotapanna.
Then back to the citta visuddhi, and we're talking about, as you said, samadhi doesn't appear until it's been developed, like now wholesome concentration doesn't appear. So it's only when it's been developed to a certain degree that it appears. So in that case, the citta visuddhi has to refer to samadhi that has been developed. Is that correct, Ajahn?
Because we usually think about samadhi as higher degree than only sila, samadhi. So there are wrong samadhi and right samadhi. So the moment when panya understands samadhi, at that moment samadhi itself is the right object for right awareness. So that moment it's right or samadhi. Visuddhi, or citta visuddhi, another word for it.
So, but this samadhi or citta visuddhi is not a necessary step to ditthi visuddhi, is it?
It is for sure. No matter what level, even right now, there is ekagata as samadhi. But we talk also about upachara samadhi and apana samadhi as well. That can be object of understanding at that moment. So that one which is the object of right understanding is also visuddhi, because it can be the object of right understanding at that moment.
So when it's sila visuddhi, it's not chitta visuddhi?
No.
And when it's chitta visuddhi?
Not ditti visuddhi.
It's not ditti visuddhi.
Because it's
not yet the first vipassana jnana.
So I'm still there, stuck with identifying sila visuddhi with satipatthana, and nothing to identify chitta visuddhi with.
There are three levels of samadhi, kanika samadhi. So all three can be ditti visuddhi. Chitta visuddhi.
Awareness of ekagata jetasika.
Or the moment when that samadhi is there to be object.
Or awareness of a just fallen away moment of samatha.
I think that Sukhin's point is that,
as we said, that samadhi doesn't appear until it's been developed, so ekagata jetasika doesn't appear normally. And so if one has not developed samatha, then ekagata doesn't appear. So his question is, in that case, if one hasn't developed, if the person hasn't developed samatha and samadhi is not appearing, there isn't going to be a right understanding of ekagata because it doesn't appear normally. So what is citta visuddhi?
Is samadhi important for the development of right understanding too?
Yes.
It develops together.
From the beginning. So because as a chetasika, it's with all, even sila visuddhi has samadhi.
So we can say that sila and citta visuddhi are together.
Mm. And we can say that as the understanding develops, as the satipatthana develops, then the samadhi develops also with the right understanding, until when it's vipassana jnana, they are yoked together and the characteristic is apparent. So it has to develop. So that's why it's a higher level. So it's actually a higher level of understanding, because that's why the samadhi has developed. Is that correct?
Yeah. How many factors of pochanka? What are they? Oh, no, I mean sampochanka, not only chanka, not only pocho, sampochanka. How many chetasikas? But what can be sampochanka, factors of enlightenment?
Are you talking about the balas?
Like the bal indriyas and the balas?
No, no. I mean that the 37 are, what do you call it, podi, pakiyadama, and so what are the
37?
No, podi, bodhi, pakiyadama. There are 37 pochakadama, but only how many? Which is pochanka?
Oh, well, that would probably be
how many?
18.
How many satipatthana? How many indriya? How many bala? And how many pochanka? And how many makka? Even they are all together, but which can be?
I'm confused with the question, but I can imagine, wouldn't all
what the... What are the 37 jetasikas?
19, you mean? Sorry.
Bodhi Bhagyadama.
Wouldn't it refer to all the kusala?
Altogether, there are 37, but four satipatthana and four itipada.
Mm-hmm.
In order to know about the 37, we have to find out what are there.
Well, you've got the, as you said, the
so the, you the know the right number.
Indriyas and
balas. Yeah. See? Four satipatthana. And what else?
Four right efforts.
Yes.
Indriya.
Four indriya.
Bala.
How many? How many? So that all together,
four.
37.
Five.
Including samadhi.
In order to understand samadhi, sampochanka.
Oh, I see.
So it has to be an indriya and a bala. It has to develop.
That's why there's a wrong path as well as a right path, and the wrong path includes wrong sila, wrong samadhi. So the wrong speech and deeds are the sila of the wrong path. Yeah. Concentration is the samadhi is the micha samadhi, the wrong concentration.
We have all 37 now. 37.
Do you have all now?
No. To understand. To count.
Ashita is counting.
Well, no, I'm not. I had this vision of digging, and then you get looking for gold, and you dig, and you dig. It seems like the more we learn, the more there is to learn. So
much
I just had this vision of digging deeper and deeper and deeper.
So, five indriya, five bala, and then more. Not yet 37.
Seven factors of awakening. Seven factors of awakening, that's the sampojangas.
Yeah.
And the Noble Eightfold Path.
An Eightfold Path, yeah.
Panya has to be one of those.
More than one.
More than one,
awakening,
yeah.
I would like to know more. The seven. Can you say, well, which seven?
In the book. In the book.
In the book or in the book?
Or
on the internet.
Alberta's got it.
Prasadhi. Query and Sadhi.
Virya.
Prasadhi is one.
Sati. Dhammadi, Viraya,
Sati,
Dhammavijaya, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like that. Remember that it's like a chance is just rubbing the mountain, stroking the mountain. It's not digging, it's not so fast.
With the finger now, you said.
Yeah, in the Tripitaka. In the Tripitaka. Yeah.
So it's all in the book, but now it should be related to this moment, I feel.
Yeah. All the words in the book related.
Right.
To this moment.
I like to hear more about that.
Which one?
From this moment.
One word at a time.
One word at a time. So, sati.
It is satipatthana.
Yes.
And what else? In the sampochanka.
Yeah. There's also samadhi. Samadhi. No?
That's the point. That's why
we're stressing about. She's stressing about the bojangas because of samadhi has to be developed with understanding.
It's understanding. Mm. Yeah. It's panya. Virya.
Yes.
Virya now.
Yeah. My conditions.
My conditions, not self.
Yeah.
And we take it for self.
Sati, panya, virya, piti, prasadi.
You go slowly, please, word by word. And because Ajahn says always one word at a time.
Sati.
Yeah, that's satipatthana.
Sati sambhujan.
And it has to be this moment.
Second is Dhamma Vichaya.
Dhamma Vichaya.
Panya.
The España, yeah. That relates to this moment.
I'm not sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Very important.
Very important, Nina.
Yeah, yeah. Not just the words in the book.
Yeah.
No, one.
I can only.
Slowly, please.
Yeah. Two. Three is Virya. Virya Sambhujanga.
Yeah. It has to be this right understanding. Now.
Yeah, much.
But is the Virya now?
Must be.
Is the Virya now?
Is there?
Thinking, considering, listening cannot be without Virya.
It's a good one to repeat.
Virya arises with how many chittas? This is the point.
Kusala chittas, akusala
chittas. Piti.
And apayagata chittas.
Yeah,
right?
Piti is one. Piti.
Piti sambhujanga.
Piti.
Wait a minute. Don't go over it too quickly.
Count.
No, it's
count
gone.
The finger.
Piti is gone. Piti is gone. Oh. Get Piti back again.
But we were busy with Virya first.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we were still at Virya. Is the Virya now, I shall ask.
Right. Almost every moment.
Yeah, Kusala and Akusala.
Yeah.
And Apayagata.
Yeah, and for to be a factor of enlightenment, it has to be Kusala, of course.
Next? No?
Dhammavijaya he mentioned.
The second, yeah. Third is.
Virya? Piti. Piti.
Yes. Then it has to be with Somanasa. Together with Somanasa. It's pleasant feeling.
It's just got the one word here, it doesn't say.
Not every kusala citta is Somanasa. Not every moment of satipatthana is Somanasa. So
what about the moment of the higher panya?
Higher panya.
More and more Somanasa?
More piti, more Somanasa, more piti.
Yeah. Because you spoke also, Ramsara, about higher happiness. A happiness is
understanding.
Which is a higher happiness. Mm.
It's a with pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
When I see you understand Dhamma, piti is there. Right?
Yes.
See? Yeah. But it's not yet Sambhujanga, because it's not that one which is nearly to become enlightenment.
So that's very special then?
Not ordinary one.
Not ordinary.
Because of panya.
So this Sambhujanga is simply saying what happens at a particular level of understanding?
Highly developed as factors of enlightenment.
It's good to hear about that. Yeah.
The next one.
Pasadi.
Pasadi.
Yeah.
Pasadi.
Calm.
Calm. See?
Yeah. Yeah, that I understand more calm, and there's more panya, it's more calm. But for a factor of enlightenment.
But there is also calm at any moment of satipatthana.
Yeah.
But it does not appear as Sambhujanga. Because panya is not enough.
Yes.
Samadhi.
Yeah, we're talking about it all the time. Yeah. Only with right understanding. Not just jhana, without any right understanding.
And the last one?
Just a minute.
Right understanding at what level, the jhana?
Pardon?
Right understanding at what level, samadhi, for example, that is Sambhujanga.
It depends on whether it is indriya or pala and
grow
on and on. until it is sampochanka.
So are we saying that when it is citta visuddhi, that it is what level, not sampochanka?
Very low level,
but still, because it's not because yet vipassana-jnana.
Vipassana-jnana.
Yes, so it's not yet
sampochanka,
it's not yet.
Otherwise it is sampochanka from the very beginning, no difference.
So that's what I'm saying, that when it's sampochanka, then it's very highly close developed and close to enlightenment.
The sammamaka, which means the lokuttara citta.
And it appears as sampochanka, but with citta visuddhi and then citta visuddhi, it's not at that level. But are you saying that the samadhi still appears?
What? Samadhi?
Yes, yes.
Because I'm wondering why we're talking about that without samadhi, yes, Panya cannot understand.
It has
clearly
to develop, so yeah, it has to develop
right
with it. Yeah,
right.
Even though it's nothing close to this level.
Even right now there is samadhi, but it does not appear as function of samadhi. But it's there with each citta.
But a citta visuddhi, it must appear.
Okay. Yep. More and more and more. From the very beginning, satipatthana.
The last one mentioned. This upekkha.
So it must be tatra machatata.
Enough to be factor of enlightenment.
Yeah. So that is even-mindedness in English, tatra machatata. It's not just indifferent feeling. It's not feeling in this case.
No feeling. It's the jetasika, tatra machatata.
Jetasika, tatra machatata. But that's also with every kusala citta, but it doesn't appear. It's not a high level.
It's
yet
not like moment when it's the factors, enlightenment factor.
Yeah, when it is a factor of enlightenment, it's higher, it's different.
You know, you just said it appears with every, or doesn't appear, but arises with every kusala citta. Is that correct?
Mm. Yes.
Not equanimity. So it's nothing to do with the vetana.
No.
Okay.
But what vetana is there usually?
With kusala?
The moment of makkha. Sotapatti makkha.
But that is the soma-rasa. Pleasant feeling.
Because what of piti, sampochanka.
Yeah.
So it must be pleasant.
Piti, yeah.
For those who are not the fifth jhana.
But when it is accompanied by a higher stage of jhana, it's upekkha. Yeah. It depends on the stage of jhana. For those who develop jhana and panya, vipassana.
There's upekkha, there's no piti in that moment. They can't arise together.
So only for, if one hasn't attained jhana, if jhana is not the base of enlightenment, then the feeling is pleasant with piti, with great piti. But for the one who has attained second jhana, no vitaka, and then after that, no vichara, and then no piti and no pleasant feelings. So the one who has attained fifth jhana, when they become enlightened immediately afterwards, it is with upekkha, not with those other factors. So not eightfold path, sevenfold.
What do you think of the factors of enlightenment? What do you think?
No. they're probably the high level of kusala, and I don't want to say to be aimed for, because it gives an idea of I wanting something, but when I, with the explanation of them, they sound very, well, they sound desirable, but that's probably not the right word.
Attachment?
Definitely, yes, when going through them,
then,
yes.
That's why people go wrong.
Yes, I think so, yes.
Not the right term. I think you meant
they sound very worthy.
Thank you, John. That's it. Well, that's a. They sound very noble.
Right. They are factors that become prominent.
Yes.
As enlightenment is approached.
But I still think it's useful to know about it. The way Ajahn explains it, that it is a daily life, and even when one is not yet to that stage, it's good to know that it's not in the book, but about reality now.
And I think why Jan is mentioning the Sambhojankas, and I think the point is that Satipatthana has to develop the understanding and samadhi and the viriya and all the other paths have to develop. So citta visuddhi
is a stage of development after sila visuddhi, and then ditti visuddhi, and then the next visuddhi is the overcoming of doubt, the second stage of enlightenment, a second stage of vipassana jnana, and so on. So different visuddhis that have to be developed, and understanding and other factors that have to be purified more and more and more in order to become sambhojangas.
So it's just another way of looking at things. Sila visuddhi, citta visuddhi,
ditti, many more visuddhis.
And then another way of looking at how the development takes place.
How Satipatthana has to develop more and more, higher and higher, more and more refined in order to become that level.
And it helps us to see, understand more about conditions in the development. So many factors that are conditions.
No self.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
That's with anything. Just foreseeing to arise is also a matter of conditions. Of course, for kusla, akusla, and kusla more chetasikas, and
but not to take them for self.
Not to take them for self.
Yeah, it helps.
From the very beginning to the end.
From the beginning to the end, this is important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abandon. Literally.
Bahana, abandoning, yeah.
But it starts with seeing invisible object, hearing and sound, and other realities that may appear now.
Yes. That's why there must be pariyatti, otherwise there cannot be patipatti.
Otherwise, one might get the impression one could go straight to the factors of enlightenment, for example, and have more awareness of concentration and piti and so forth.
Yes.
But that is led by desire and ignorance.
What is that?
It's led by desire and
by
attachment.
Desire, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. While the right one is the abandoning from the very beginning.
Fourth.
Purity, overcoming doubt, kanka, vitarana, visuddhi. And this is at the second vipassana jnana. When there is the knowledge of the conditions, pachaya parigaha jnana. And when there's clear understanding of dhammas arising by conditions, there's purity by overcoming doubt. And then after that, the fifth visuddhi is magga magga jnana dasana visuddhi, the knowledge and vision of what the path is and what is not the path.
Or shall we stop at it for a moment to have more understanding?
From the very beginning?
Yeah. Otherwise we take the right pass, the wrong pass for the right pass.
Right. And then Panya is more inclined to understand the arising and falling away of realities. So this is the stage of Samasana Jnana, understanding the groups. So it's just a way of showing how understanding has to develop.
If there isn't the development
of those factors, the virya and the samadhi and so on, then they can never become some bhojanas or enlightenment factors at all.
Yeah. So when there are attachment and ignorance, but it's not noticed at all, that's the danger, that we go the wrong way, the wrong path.
It needs the pariyati, which means really understand the truth now, not just recite the terms like how many cetasikas and jitas are there.
Yeah.
It has to be right now. To know that each word of the teachings concerns reality right now. Because each word is panya, it will lead to understanding more and more.
And to be overcome by ignorance.
For example,
without noticing it.
For example, is now Diddhi Visuddhi? Right. Is it Satipatthana?
No.
That's why it develops from hearing, considering, because when it arises, it's unexpectedly because of the anatta-ness all the way. No question about maybe tomorrow or next year, even next life.
Yes, or 7 days or 7 months.
Yes.
Would anyone like to talk about the four Sammapatthana? Sammapatthana. To talk about Sammapatthana. Please.
The right efforts. Yeah.
Please.
You talked a lot about it in the beginning on the list, I mean, many years ago.
Well, they are different aspects of the same mental factor, because there can be effort for the arising of kusala, which isn't arising at the moment, or then can be effort for the non-arising of agusala, that is arising at the moment, etc. But they are all just the one mental factor.
What are the four? The two?
The two are the continuation of kusala that has arisen, and the fourth is, but not in the right order, the fourth is the non-arising of agusala that has not arisen at the moment.
And what's the beginning of Sammapatthana?
Right understanding now.
Even right understanding at what level, see?
Even now at the level of pariyati, right understanding, there has to be right effort, there has to be wholesome virya at that level, which is the beginning of the way leading to the path, leading to the development of the four right efforts.
At moment of understanding the worth of panya,
any moment of right understanding, it's either one of the four?
Talking about mundane understanding, yes. But at moment of enlightenment, it's all four together.
The people who do not understand the worth of right understanding do not hear or listen at all. So Sammapatthana cannot be developed.
It's easy to mistake the description of Sammapatthana in the text as something to be done.
That's wrong effort.
that would be wrong effort and wrong view.
So because the translation says one strives for the non-arising of non-arisen, akusala, dhamma, so it implies a self trying to avoid akusala, while it is the function of the reality viriya itself to avoid a non-arisen akusala dhamma.
The description in the text uses words like strives, yeah, put forth effort, exerts himself, etc. But that is just descriptive of how it has its effect rather than something to be done.
And the avoiding, you asked about the avoiding. So you wrote a lot about that. Understand it. Don't avoid it. But it may be avoiding in another way.
At the moment when there is right understanding and wholesome virya is there, at that moment akusala is avoided. No akusala has arisen, and kusala is accumulating, and so it always refers to this moment,
yeah,
and the nature of virya at this moment.
Yeah.
It is avoiding what akusala in that sense.
Yeah, because when one reads avoiding, one may easily misunderstand it and go the wrong way, not wanting to know it.
So it's not the effort of trying not to have, or trying to have.
Yeah. That's what you wrote about on the list very well.
Christ. Nothing to do with any practice.
Yeah.
And nothing to do
with conventional effort.
That's it.
Yes.
It, yeah.
In fact, the more that right effort is developed, then the more easily kusala arises. Right? As it right effort is developed to a high degree, then
it begins
means
with
it's effortless.
No self from the very beginning.
Yes.
And it keeps on the long path until it's eradicated, the idea of self. Is eradicated.
And nothing with
it to do with attending to any object either.
Mm. Yes.
Is it one of the powers, Ajahn?
How many?
Five. I don't know that much.
Yeah. The same as Indriya.
Indriya, yes. Yeah. And so when it's of the level of faculty or power, in fact it's...
And what about at level of Indriya?
Yes.
What level? Indriya.
Yes.
Is there...
A leader, yeah.
At moment of understanding, is there sati?
Indriya.
A leader.
Right now?
Like now it is...
Is it Indriya right now? See, one has to understand what is meant by satindriya. Or the five indriya.
I don't understand yet.
Because sati arises with all wholesome jittas.
Yes.
But when it's not satipatthana, it is not satindriya. It's not strong enough to be aware.
But whenever at any moment of satipatthana, then the indriyas are developing.
Different from moment of other kusala without right understanding.
And different from Parigati.
Mm-hmm.
But you spoke about kusala arises more easily. I'm not so sure about it, but...
More than what?
Than akusala?
Usually?
No.
So what is more?
Akusala.
Mm-hmm.
So it means not yet a factor of enlightenment.
Not beginning yet.
Yeah.
I was just trying to explain that you could say the more that right effort is developed, the more effortless kusala becomes.
Yeah.
In the conventional sense.
True. So that is desirable.
When there is the idea of self, it's desirable. But when it's not self at all,
that's
it. Is it desirable?
That's it, yeah.
For the arhat, there's kriya. For the anagami, more kusla than the sakadagami. For the sakadagami, more kusla than the sotapanna. Yeah. For the sotapanna, more than those who have achieved vipassana jnana.
Yeah.
So, and accordingly, less akusla. On the way up.
But I have a question. Because you asked me just now whether there is more kusala or akusala, and at that moment I'm taking it for self, both kusala and akusala,
but
when you asked me.
How do you know?
Because I think of myself.
Just thinking. Not moment of realizing the nature of reality as it
right,
is.
Right, so I have to consider that more.
So that is pariyatti?
Yeah.
Sarah, a moment ago it seemed to me you placed the emphasis on those four, you know, stop the arising of agusla that has not yet arisen. But the emphasis you placed, it came back to the moment, that at the moment of kusala, that's stopping the agusla from rising. And the emphasis is placed quite beautifully on the fact that it's not us doing anything, it is just the rising and the falling.
So when it is viri at that moment, with right understanding at that moment, that is its function, it is right effort at that moment, and there is the ceasing of akusala at the moment, and there is the development of right effort and so on. And when we were talking about indriyas developing, so that's why indriya samvara sila refers to moments of right understanding of reality. So the sila at that moment is the sila of satipatthana. So that's why when one reads sila in different context, one has to understand what it's referring to. Here it's referring to the guarding aspect of sati in particular, and other mental factors. So at that moment of right understanding, virya performs its function. Sati already guards from unwholesomeness. So just different mental factors performing their functions for an instant, nothing else at all.
Ajahn, we read in the text about monks in the time of the Buddha who were able to maintain their subject of meditation. That is, I take it to mean samatha development throughout the day, even as they went on bindabat and that sort of thing.
Samapatti.
I was just wondering, because that's obviously a very high level of kusala.
Yes, because there can be the jhana samapatti.
Yes.
And pala samapatti and niroda samapatti.
Sorry, what was the last one?
Niroda.
I see.
Yeah.
While going for ambrasana?
Can it not be kamatana? To keep the kamatana just referring to vipassana, because kamatana is not only samatha. So the monk should not be forgetful of nama and rupa.
By conditions.
Yes. Not just samatha or dharma.
They are also developing insight.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in terms of samatha, they are able to maintain the kamatana. yes. throughout
by
the day.
Conditions, by not conditions. By intention to
no,
do.
No, no.
How are these objects maintained while doing something else?
I mean, obviously, there's also seeing and hearing arising, but I'm understanding that between moments of seeing and hearing, then the thinking has as its object the kamatana.
Incredible skillfulness of mind, of citta, that enables that, you know. And that's really ultimately personified, I think, in the Buddha when he performed that yamaka patihariya. You know.
I think as Nina's saying, it could be that it's referring to the objects of vipassana, because why would the Buddha encourage keeping these samatha objects? And
why do you say he encouraged? I thought that's what no. I just said, that there were accounts in the text of monks who had that ability.
Several times now Ajahn said, by conditions. So that means not taking it for self.
Never,
yeah.
What about, isn't it like that example we discussed on Saturday from the Visuddhimagga text, when someone has attained jhana and afterwards there were those words, nichalam and nirantaram, like attending continuously or repeatedly to that object, just by conditions, because of the strength of that absorption, and so just conditions to, with vipassana, to be aware and understand repeatedly that object, the jhana citta or factors or whatever the object is at that time, just naturally by conditions, because of the strength of the samadhi and so on.
And there's nothing inconsistent with that and development of insight and understanding at the same time.
But of course, if someone has the idea of attending repeatedly to an object or something completely wrong, nothing to do with what we read about.
And talking about different
kinds of sila, so we know there's patimokkha sila, kusala akusala, vyakata sila, indriya samvara sila. And I think you mentioned sometime something which sounds like pachya, something sila, such as being concerned
with sannisita,
being concerned with the cheetahs of the giver or paying respect for.
At any moment of consume anything like food or wearing robe.
How do you pachya, what is it?
Pachya sannisita.
Sannisita sila. Can you say more about it?
Because we do have to consume eating, wearing clothes, and for monk there must be sila wearing at that moment too, considering
what is suitable or
it depends on understanding.
But always kusala. And
otherwise he must be like us.
Yes.
Not bhikkhu.
For example, considering the purpose of eating and that sort of thing?
Because you see that we can eat immediately, but for monk they have to consider just to live
what is appropriate, and that's different from patimokkha sila, because it's not any rule but just considering what is appropriate. And so what about the aspect of respect for or the cheetahs of the giver or something, just considering
respect the giver?
Paying respect to someone
what do you mean, the monk?
Or anyone, or layperson.
Oh, layperson.
Yes.
When, as the receiver or as the giver, see?
Yes.
It's not easy to receive because of mana, or sometimes that thing is not valuable or not good. But by thinking, the moment of thinking about the kusala, of the giver.
Paying our right respect for the kusala of the giver.
Receive respectfully.
Receiving respectfully, okay.
Does that apply, like, I don't want that, if that sort of
think of oneself, not the kusala of the giver.
So those are all examples.
And as monks, they have to do good. Otherwise, it's not worthy to be the receiver.
Right.
Because understanding the kusala of the giver. So he has
when
to...
the person is giving out of faith in the Dhamma and the Sangha. We talk about giving to monks.
Respectfully?
Yes, especially when the person's dana is motivated by respect
because
for
Because I think that in order to
Sangha.
Understand moment of receiving or moment of giving at that moment, in order to understand whether it's with prejudice, ego, self or whatever, but if one usually develop kusala, we receive nicely, truthfully, respectfully.
So those are all the examples of
paccaya sannisitta, the moment of whatever they are doing, wearing robe, eating, washing or whatever.
And what does it mean, paccaya sannisitta?
Paccaya is that which is consumed.
Consumed, okay.
Yeah, like food and clothes.
And sannisitta?
Concerning,
okay.
So, I don't know Pali, please.
Yeah. Okay, sila concerning the what is given or offered.
Kusala at that moment.
So many different kinds of sila, Nina. Many different kinds of sila.
That's sometimes translated as requisites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question from a friend on our discussion list about the friendliness and metta. So we know from discussions that we can't say that every moment of friendliness with kusala citta is adosa, but it's not necessarily metta. And he wondered whether it's a little bit like not every kind of aversion is an act of unwholesome deed like killing. Can one say that for it, the friendliness to be metta, it must have an effect on others?
Iskusala.
That's all we can say. Mm-hmm. We can't say anything about the effect on others. It just depends on many factors. Might not even notice.
Do you know the moment of metta? Can it be known?
I think that it can be known when there is friendliness. But whether we call it met or not, because this comes from when we were here last time and you said that it's not all friendliness or aloba towards other beings is metta.
Because realities appear always unknown as a reality. Mm. It's known as I or something all the time. So at moment of metta, there can be the understanding of moment of being friendly, already ready to help.
I think what Ajahn said last time was that not every moment of kusala with a being as object is metta.
Well, specifically it was said that not every moment of friendliness or kindness was
it
metta.
has to be metta. Its characteristic is that.
To be friendly and kind.
Mm-hmm. Even we don't call it metta, it's there.
Nina will remember it.
You remember when we came to Nakhon Nayok last year and there was a discussion about how not every moment of friendliness was metta, that there were different degrees. But now we're discussing how it must be metta, if it is friendliness to others.
And then it is metta.
It is metta.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking, referring to friendliness, that's one of the characteristics of metta.
Yes.
Unless, of course, we're talking about the near enemy.
No. We're talking about the kusala.
The cheetahs, the being a friend.
Then we can see the characteristic of metta anywhere.
Yeah.
But we are so bound to take that for self, the metta.
Different moments.
Excuse me?
Different moments, yeah. Yeah.
Very close, like seeing and hearing right now. But they're different.
Not as close as... Closer than seeing and hearing, because seeing and hearing is, in the minimum, must have thinking and bhavanga before, and more bhavanga, thinking, bhavanga, then hearing.
The same.
But whereas in the case of metta, the metta can immediately be taken for self, isn't it?
The same. There must be bhavanga and...
Bhavanga, yes. But the first thinking can...
Thinking for can be many processes.
Go, you can see metta everywhere?
Like now?
I'm just observing our friends. Oh, yeah.
On this?
I see it only there, so no.
No, if you observe people in the street, you know, people...
Maybe not.
little
yeah, this is sweet then, I see.
I don't like it. Speculation.
Receive respectfully.
Yes.
But would you repeat again about so common
I'm saying when can look around and so many examples of metta, and one doesn't have to think or speculate, oh well, this is probably attachment following it, but actually just many little examples throughout the discussion.
And how sure are you that when you perceive it as metta, it's not speculation?
Because I think she's given a good example.
You see someone helpfully passing the microphone or passing the cough suite or thinking of the other's welfare.
They help me when I stand up.
And now they have made that, preparing something.
It has to be there, otherwise it wouldn't be the assisting or the helping.
People in the bus stand up.
Sure. I'm not saying that, but then... You know, it sounds like metta, but given who we are, it's preceded and followed by attachment.
It's polite manners, metta.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Not necessarily.
Just following rules, like doing what you're told.
But politeness moments is metta.
It's consideration.
Because polite manners can be taught from childhood.
Actually, it was in a way wrong for me to point that out, because we should be encouraging whatever, however little the metta that arises.
Appreciate the examples and the moments of kindness and that is there. Yeah.
And we can say that the more metta, the more understanding, the more metta is conditioned.
And we don't have to, it's useless to say something like, oh, this person has a lot of metta and this one must be of attachment. That's unhelpful.
Otherwise it just leads to more attachment.
Attachment to this person or this being.
Just a quick question on something that came up in Sri Lanka, up in the mountains, which I'm still not quite clear on. When there is appreciation of the kusala of another person, for example, one may see an example of metta and appreciate the person's kusala, or one may see an example of dana and appreciate
very close.
Yeah. Is that moment of appreciation, that is, itself is...
It cannot be told. It had to be understood.
Mm. Right. And what kind of kusala do we call that? The appreciation of another's...
Dhamma. Anumodana.
Yeah.
You see, it has to be understood.
Not to be told whether it is metta or no metta, or akusala, attachment or metta. And it has to be right at that moment too, because it's gone.
It's gone already, yeah. You mean it has to be understood as not self, as a reality?
Then you know whether it's what, metta or lobha.
Yes.
And why do you say it's dana, Nina? The appreciation?
It's like a way of giving, I think. I feel it that way.
But giving who? Because at that moment he's just thinking to himself that what another person is doing is kusala and appreciating in it. So how is it dana? To whom is the dana?
We have to think of person. It's like you just caring or giving. But you don't think so much this person or that person.
Or somebody just having a generous heart even though he's not giving. Is that what you mean?
Being generous.
Right. When you... If there's appreciation of another person's kusala, why do you call that dana?
I thought it was
appreciate on dana or sila or panya.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of kusala can be object of appreciation.
Yes, so is the appreciation itself...
It's kusala.
Yeah, what kind of kusala?
It depends on sila or dana or bhavana.
Right. What I thought.
So if one just thinks to oneself that, oh, it's they're being very helpful and appreciate their kusala, then it would be kusala chitta's kusala sila at that moment. But if one expresses, for example, one's appreciation, then it's anumodana dana. It's a kind of anumodana because it's like offering a gift of appreciation to them.
Yeah, I feel it that way.
About the appreciation of the other person's kusala. Say one appreciates another person's understanding, for example. Is that appreciation itself a kind of understanding, or is it, I don't know, just like appreciating...
What is friendliness? Friendliness. Because you cannot appreciate your enemy's good deeds.
Correct, true. Yeah, I suppose.
You may.
By conditions.
You can appreciate another person's kusala, whether they are known to you or not.
Or vipaka.
And it's regardless or not whether the other person is actually...
friend of enemy.
Kusala or has done a kusala or kusala deed. It depends on the chitta at that time, which understands the value of kusala. Suppose, I'm going back to your case, suppose we observe someone doing something and we think it's kusala, and at that moment it's a matter of appreciating the value of kusala. It's regardless whether that other person is doing it with chitta, kusala or kusala. Right, because we can never know what we see. What the eye sees is visible object, and the rest is just thinking.
Now, can you metta thaksin?
I would not think about him in terms of a kusala deed. But suppose I see him here giving a poor person. It may be bribe, but I think he's giving. That time, I'm appreciating the. Because I think it's giving. Because I know the value of giving.
So it can be known by direct awareness.
It's not known by direct awareness.
It can be known only by direct awareness.
But when it is not known...
Who knows the succession of the kusala and akusala, like seeing and hearing?
I think Ajahn said earlier, it has to be known correctly.
You mean can't appreciate
another person's unwholesomeness as kusala.
And what is known, or through which doorway is it known? By someone giving, like thaksin, giving money to someone? How is it known?
At that very moment, you also know that it's a bribe.
No, I cannot. I come at the moment he's just handing
but
the money.
If that moment you know that it's a bribe.
If I know.
Yeah.
But if I don't?
Yeah, so different situation.
Right.
So it's just my thing.
It's like the same point as before, like someone offers someone a cup of tea or passes a cough sweet, and there can be kusala, moment of appreciation of the kusala. There's no need to think or speculate, oh, well, it may not have been kusala, and now it's only a visible object, and that kusala was gone long ago. It's just at that moment of appreciation of the quality of kusala,
right.
Regardless.
So that's
all.
So regardless of what's...
Or
yeah.
It's perceived to be kusala, one sees an act of kindness and one appreciates it, finish.
It's
yeah.
A kind of samatha bhavna, because you see the value of something. It's like taking a meditation object.
It's just a common moment of metta or generosity or kusala reflection, appreciation.
That's it at that moment. Yeah.
And no need to have a long story about, well, I don't really know what their citta is and they may have given it with attachment, because then it's not kusala anymore.
Yeah, I like your gesture like that. It's gone.
It's a bit like a Jan says. Just give when there's an opportunity, or just have metta when there's an opportunity to be kind. No need to think a long story about it.
Yeah.
So how does someone know someone is giving a bribe? You just see things. You might hear some sounds. But mostly wouldn't
you
it just
might
be
have
thinking?
Heard about bribe before.
Wouldn't that be just in the thinking?
If you know that this person will give bribe to that person, you know before. Moment of giving.
So in the situation quoted earlier when Ajahn said they're getting drinks for us, we know the people involved, we know the circumstances.
Really? I doubt now.
Do you doubt there'd be no kusala involved in
someone
getting
drinks? No, I doubt that I
drinks.
Can know for sure
yeah.
If I'm not that person. Even I heard, know these people.
Can we say that no one knows at all? Only awareness and right understanding know.
Would awareness and right understanding know it was a bribe? Or?
That is a story.
Yes, it's a story.
But,
that's why I'm questioning.
But we are talking about metta, not the story of metta.
But Ajahn, you mentioned if it's giving a bribe, I thought I question how one knows anyone is giving
and
a bribe.
I said, you might know beforehand that this person will give bribe.
Oh, I see. Mm.
I think it's similar to intention, the intention, right? So the intent—it depends on the intention.
Yes.
Right.
But how would I know that person's
intention?
No, it
doesn't matter at that point. The knowing here is reference to the intention with the particular object. Means that if I intend to give someone for his own good, is different from intending to give someone for my benefit, right? So you don't know what's really going on in the other person, but that intention is there. So Ajahn is saying that you think it's dana, so it's dana on your part, right? It's reflecting on kusala on your part. You think it's bribe, that's what you're thinking.
Okay. There's no way to really know if there's a bribery going on.
It's a perception.
Yes, that's okay.
Like if I don't know the person or the story and I perceive that it's an act of generosity, then there can be appreciation of the generosity. But if I've been told or read that actually it's a bribe at that time, then there won't be appreciation of kusala. So that's all.
I think Chan is trying to say that if you know Thaksin is such, you know Thaksin for who he is, would you think that when he's handling money that's giving?
Maybe a different situation. He gives to
getting into
yeah.
nobody's here. So how can there be really taxing. That's just a concept too, isn't it?
Yeah
or no?
It's again like if you don't have the knowledge about someone being corrupted, then you might think, you might not have thoughts, doubts about that moment. But once you have, then it becomes harder to know what is really going on.
But if you're seeing giving money to a beggar on the street, you don't think he's bribing him, do you?
First, I have to be sure that it's a beggar, not a villager. So
too late. Too late.
Yeah, but the point is, would you appreciate kusala of somebody you dislike because he can do kusala just like
no,
you do?
It's like if you don't know anything about the Vinaya and you see someone giving money to a monk, you might appreciate the kusala, but if you know that it's wrong and inappropriate, then you won't appreciate it at all. Even if there is some kusala on the giver's part, you won't appreciate it. So it just depends on the perception and the knowledge.
So who's here today? Who is here? I thought it's just a lot of Nam Rup that's in the room together.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Taksin isn't any part of that, mm-hmm. But I find the conversation right now a little bit more as if there are people in a different way than the conventional reality, as if there is someone there to take as a Sukhin, Vincent.
It's hard to talk about a person in details. That's why we use the name.
I'm sorry, please repeat
that. It's hard to talk about in details.
Yes,
but
it is hard.
Because of that, we give names to all Tatu.
I just felt like there something that was said as if it was giving a bit more weight to those names than I found easy to...
The
incorporate.
Taksin was a label for Akusala Dhammas.
Okay. How about we use Trump? You know?
Yeah, the same.
He's more pertinent at the moment. That's a joke.
We don't know the future.
We don't know the future. I don't even know the present moment very well. I don't even know the present moment very well, much less the future. And the past, I'm always forgetting that too, so.
What is well known now?
What is well known now? Sound, just the thin. By the time I said it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Colors, visual object.
Mm, good.
That's all. Nobody.
There's no one there.
Yeah, and there's no room. Thank you, Sukhin, for adding
that. Nobody in the no room.
So why'd you get that movie called The Room?
There's no me who to give any movie to anybody.
But I think it's a good point to stress that they're just different dharmas, and I think that was the point that I was stressing before. You know, we have an idea of this person's metta or this person's this or that, but actually just different dharmas
just
and
different
changing
things.
All the time.
I like that part.
Well, you would not mind talking about people if you understood that it's in the end it's just dharmas. So sometimes we have to make, like Chan said, you have to talk. You can't just give, just keep on describing in terms of chittas and chetasikas.
And it wasn't Chan who introduced Taksin into the conversation.
Because I understand Kunsukin.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. It's always useful to come to the Dhamma discussion to be reminded that it's only Dhamma and not anybody there. So that's why I sort of wait. In describing it's metta, it's dana or not, and trying to understand the other namrup's state of mind in that moment of giving or not giving, I find I'm not trying to work out. I come here to step away from working out what the other person appears to be doing or thinking. Because I do that all the time. You know?
Exactly, because it comes back just to the citta now, yeah. At that time of speculating about the other or having that story about the other. Actually, it's only the story of citta at this moment. Living alone with citta now, that's all.
I've heard a chant say that reading the newspaper is the story of Nama and Rupa.
Well, everything is a story of Nama.
So it's good to study just one word at a time, like sati and satipatthana and satindriya and satipala, see? Sati sampochung as well, and sammasati. If there is no satindriya, can there be satipala?
No.
So we see the difference now. Between the ordinary sati and satindriya and sati pala. And sati sampochung and sammasati.
It's helpful that we discuss this today, and it's a little more clear now. What you say, that's different, all different aspects, different levels too.
So can we talk about sampochong, sati sampochong, without the understanding of satipatthana?
Useless. Because without the development of satipatthana, the development of satindriya, then we'll never become bala or we'll never become bojanga. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
That's why also without sila visuddhi, no citta, and no ditti, and so on, visuddhi.
Yeah, and can we talk about sati without understanding seeing now and hearing now? Then we go further down.
Sati can be aware of anything right now, yeah. By conditions,
yes.
Not by intention.
But we have to know the objects of sati, like seeing and hearing.
Whatever is now.
Yeah.
If just we don't exactly know, the same.
If we don't know it by the level of pariyati.
No. That's why there must be priyati.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about only namas and rupas, I have a question about bhumi or realm. Sometimes it's said that there are two meanings of bhumi because it can refer to the kind of citta like kamavatra, citta, rupa, brahma, citta, rupa, brahma, citta, lokutra, citta, and sometimes it can refer to different realms. But actually, even when it's talking about different realms, it's still just referring to different kinds of cheetahs. So it just happens that in certain kinds of life, like this life, there are conditions for mostly kamavatra cheetahs or all kamavatra cheetahs, and in rupa brahma realm, conditions for many rupa brahma cheetahs. But actually, it's still just referring to the nature of cheetah, and because there's only one citta at a time, in reality, no realm, no human life, no heavenly life or whatever. So really, in that sense, it's actually just one meaning, just referring to the kind of citta.
Because in terms of prayer, it's samuti.
It is samuti, exactly. I didn't get the last one.
It's just conventional idea, yeah. Like when we talk about this life, it's just a conventional idea, because actually there is no human life. There are just different citas, and in terms of different realms, there are just different citas. So actually only one meaning or one kind of bhumi, not two meanings.
But it has to refer to patisandhicitta also, because when we say human realm, we're talking about patisandhi, that conditions a particular kind of rebirth.
Kusala vipaka.
It's just a different...
The citta, one at a time.
Yeah, but there must be place or world. For certain jitas like Aruba Brahma, Priyam, or Aruba Brahma and Deva.
Just by
conditions, by different conditions for different kinds of cheetahs to arise. So in that, when we talk about the Aruba Brahma realm, it's just samuti for referring to those kinds of cheetahs that
So those kinds of cheetahs, and I'm talking about those kinds. So what are the kinds that distinguish human from Brahma? Or animal from human? What is that kind? You were saying kind. So it means they're different kinds. So what is that?
Like now there is moments of understanding or wise reflection. Those kinds of cheetahs with panya don't arise in the animal realm. So at this moment, so it's referring to those kinds of cheetahs that can arise in this life, for example.
So the lopa
what about
that
the bodhisattva? The bodhisattva?
Exceptional.
Because you see that in the absolute sense, there's no place.
At we're talking about kind of citta.
So there are two meanings of bhumi. One is the levels of cittas, and the other is different realm of world or place.
Okay. So level of cittas, let's now use the word realm. Level of citta. Human realm is one level of citta, animal realm is another level of citta. Is that what we're saying? Levels of cittas? Bhumis are different levels of cittas?
Cittas are different, but in the same world.
Just now you said level of cittas.
When we talk about the absolute sense, for example, the Aruba Brahma world, it means that there is no rupa. And so there are only Aruba Brahma cittas.
Other than that, no rupa, is there anything that defines that realm, that kind of citta?
Yeah, Aruba Brahma cittas.
And
like here, if they arise in this realm, it's very exceptional and unusual, just for in certain rare cases, but in that case, repeated Aruba Brahma Bhumi cheetahs.
Just also the patisandhi citta makes the difference if it's rupavachara patisandhi citta, it's a different plane, bhumi, which means you're born in a different bhumi, because bhumi, two meanings of bhumi, realm and plane of citta. So it depends.
Question, how many planes of citta are there? Versus how many realms are there? That's your point, isn't it?
No, I'm thinking...
So how many realms of citta are there? There's Kamavachara, there's Rupavachara, Arupavachara,
and
Lokutra. Four.
Four, yeah.
Only four. But there are many more planes.
Kamavachara, there are many, human and animal.
And human and animal. When you say it comes down to citta, but there's a difference between the birth in the human realm and birth in the animal realm, right?
Right. So
they're both karma vachara.
They're both karma vachara. Yes, that's the common. Anything else?
Well, as Alberto said, conditioned by different conditions, different kind
that's
of patisandhi from the first moment, like in the animal realm, no roots and so on, and the result of akusala karma. So it's akusala vipaka from the start. So by conditions, different kinds of cittas arising, that's all.
Okay, so the difference for sure is patisandhi, bhavanga and chuti also.
Or akusala vipaka.
Akusala vipaka, you mean seeing and of a dog is different from seeing of a man?
Not necessarily, because seeing can be kusala or akusala vipaka at any moment.
And what plane is lopa mulajita?
Kama vachara.
See, it can arise even in the arupa brahma.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We're mixing up some now two things. One is
the plane of existence.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying, that actually when you talk about plane of existence, it's just samuti. But actually when you talk about cittas and rupas and realities, it's just by conditions, different kinds of cittas, chetasikas and rupas arising, no matter what the plane is. And it just depends on those conditions. Just like in a human life, depends on conditions, how, when lobha arises, how much lobha, what degree of lobha.
Okay, so is it fair to say that the difference between human and animal is the difference between the patisandhi, bhavanga and chuti? The rest is same.
No conditions for more akusala vipaka, and no conditions
right.
for panya, unless we're talking about
but
the bodhisattva.
And
lobha
is lobha. And similarly, the brahma,
where they can experience through some of the senses, lobha is just lobha.
And what plane is lokudra citta? Lokudra bhumi, not realm.